WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock. And FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.
There's a
welcome, everybody. Welcome. This is Pastor Jim Ellsbury, Associate Pastor at Beacon of Hope Ministries, and I'm sitting in for Pastor Marcia today, who has to be in Melbourne. She's doing a funeral for a lady who used to go to our church, and her daughter and daughter's partner also went to the church, so that's where Pastor's at, in case you're like freaking out because it's somebody else sitting here. Again, I'm joined by Nan Watson, one of our faithful radio personnel. It's so good to see you, Nan. It's been so long, you know.
It's been so long. Yeah. It's good to see you again, Pastor Jim.
And we are very glad to be on the show today. You know, next week is our 11th anniversary, and who would have thought it? You know, it's really a cool thing. We're going to have a family dinner at church afterwards and all that. And just want to invite everybody, if you don't have a church home, then think about coming to Beacon of Hope. We're kind of a unique church. We are located at 3700 Olmerton Avenue or Olmerton Road in Clearwater. And we are kind of unique, are we not, Anne?
We're definitely unique.
Yes, we
are. We're special.
We're very special. We are... I don't even know how to even kind of start describing us. We are kind of non-denominational, charismatic. We do believe in the moving of the gifts of the Spirit. We are an open church. We're accepting, and we don't turn you away. You know, you walk in our doors, we don't turn you away no matter what. And because we know that the love of God extends to everyone. And he wants everyone to come to a knowledge of him. And how are you going to do that if you get turned away at the door? So, you know, we're an open church. We're accepting. And I just want to invite everybody to come out to church. We have services on Sunday morning at
10 o'clock.
Right. And we also have a Wednesday evening Bible study, prayer meeting. Prayer meeting starts about 6:15-ish. Where we pray the word, we take prayer requests, we pray over those, and then Bible study starts at 7. And once that's done, around 8:30, we usually have praise team practice. And actually, people are welcome to stay and hang around for that, because it's a good time to get blessed listening to the praise team practice. So, but just want to invite everybody out and say, you know, you're more than welcome to drop by. It's a great place to visit, great place to make your spiritual home.
Well, a couple of things I'd like to say about that is you know, I've been attending the church for a little over, August was 2 years ago when I first walked into Beacon, thanks to a good friend of mine named Connie, who invited me for 3 years, and I only went twice during those 3 years. But then when I came in August, it was like such a time that I was supposed to stay, and I did. The friendliness of the people, they're very genuine. They're very loving. They're very caring. They're very genuine. I mean, what you see is what you get, and what you see is a group of people who really genuinely love. And then the second thing with regards to Wednesday night service, many of us are coming from work, so we can bring our dinners with
yes.
us. There's tables set up for the Bible study, and you have your Bible notes on there, but you can have your dinner there and eat there. And, you know, it's welcome. You know, you don't have to go home to eat something and come, you know, be
right.
too late to come. Just bring it on.
And if you're like Dan, you can probably snag a free meal somewhere.
Oops. That wasn't on purpose.
No, I know.
Well, I didn't steal it. It was given to me. Let's make sure we qualify that.
It was a free meal.
It was a free meal.
And I just want to talk about some of the other ministries that we have. Very exciting thing. We do have a prayer ministry, which we'll talk a little bit more about later. But if you have a prayer request, you can send it in to us at prayers, P-R-A-Y-E-R-S, at Beacon of Hope Ministries, plural, .com. Prayer team will pick it up, read it, compose a kind of a prayer so everybody can be praying the same thing, be on the same page, and we send it out to our prayer team. And we have gotten many answers. You know, we've gotten many answers. We've gotten prayer requests from as far away as Australia, which I think is very cool.
That is very cool.
And we've gotten answers, you know.
Yes, we
have. That's really great. We also would invite you today, if you have a question or want to make a comment, you can send an email to pastor at beaconofhopeministries.com. We have the computer up and the email up, so you feel free to do that. And say, hey, let us know you're listening. Let us know you like us. And we also, like I said before, next week is our 11th anniversary. We're having a family dinner. A lot of us will be coming over here for the radio show after that. And then also coming up in November, Beacon is doing something really, really unique. On November 18th, we're going to be in Dunedin at Blur. We're going to take it over for one night, and it's going to be kind of a raucous get-together. We're going to be praising God. It's not going to be your typical Sunday morning service or even your typical Sunday evening service.
Mm-mm.
So we are really, really looking forward to that. We want to do more outreach. We'll also be doing in December a Saturday night service at one of the parks in Dunedin. So that'll be really, really exciting. We're really looking forward to doing some really exciting things soon. So, and Pastor finished up this morning the book of James. We've been on that for quite a while. And what was unique about this series in James, Nan? Nan's going, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, we did this teaching in James? No. Just kidding.
Remember,
I was there.
Yeah, normally Pastor Marcia does track on Sunday morning and a separate teaching series on Wednesday night. For the first time that I can remember, and I think Pastor said it was the first time she ever did this, both Sunday morning and Wednesday night were on the book of James. So we did finish that up today, and Pastor has not clued any of us in, as far as I know, on what her plans are, you know, starting this Wednesday and next Sunday. So I guess it'll be a surprise. Yeah.
I really enjoyed the method that she utilized in this particular study. It's the same thing. We weren't dealing with two different kind of things. It was the same thing. And, you know, I mean, if you're one who attends all the services, you know, then you don't miss any part of it.
Right.
You know, Sunday, Wednesday,
right.
And you catch it all. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. And
it was good.
Of course, I'm, like I said last week when I was here on the radio, I'm a little partial, you know.
James.
Yeah, James. What can I say? I'm a little
James.
Partial.
Mm-hmm.
But James is just such a fascinating book. And what I wanted to do today, hopefully, who knows, we're just going to let the Lord lead, but kind of recap everything about the book of James. And there's so much stuff in here. So, but we want to start out with a song, Stronger by Mandisa.
Get better, and you're asking, why is it always raining on you when all you want is just a little good news? Instead of standing there stuck out
What a great song. Mm. What a great singer. I really like Mandisa. She's got some great stuff.
She's very good.
Oh, yeah. Well, we want to get into the book of James. We're going to try and do the entire book. Yeah, like that's going to happen.
Right,
Pastor. But you never know.
Never know.
But I do want to read something. I have a study Bible, and I want to read what it says about James. It says seven major features characterize this letter. First, it's most likely the first book written of the New Testament. Number two, it contains only two references to Christ by name. Yet, there are more points and subjects that reflect back to Jesus' teaching in this letter, including at least 15 implied references to the Sermon on the Mount, than in all other New Testament letters combined. Wow. Number three, more than half of its 108 verses are imperatives or commands.
Mm.
Four, in many ways, it is the Proverbs of the New Testament, in that it is full of godly wisdom and practical instructions for living a genuine Christian life, and it's written in an abrupt and succinct manner.
Hmm.
Ain't that the truth? Number five, James often draws lessons from nature in order to expose the tendencies and realities of sinful human nature. And then more than any other New Testament book, it emphasizes the necessary relation between faith and works, belief and behavior. And the last one, James is sometimes called the Amos, an Old Testament prophet, Prophet Amos, of the New Testament, because he vigorously addresses issues of social injustice and inequality. So James is a pretty unique book. And, you know, what I was looking, when Pastor asked me to do the radio show today, I was looking at James, and we talked about what to do. And I said, well, let me just kind of recap it. And I looked, and I found several places where James will mention one thing and then kind of go on to something else, but then bring it back up later on in the book. He talks about patience, talks about the tongue all through there, being double-minded, the rich and the poor, wisdom, faith and works. He brings it up, goes on, brings it back up. It's like it just the importance of it. And, you know, those, I'm sure there's more. These are the kind of the six that I found right off the bat last night. But that song that Mandisa just sang, Stronger, you know, that goes right along with James chapter 1, starting with verse 2, which is part about patience. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And, you know, that's kind of what was going along in that song that Mandisa sang. You know, we look at trials, we look at the trials and tribulations that we have, and you kind of wonder what good are they? You know, why am I going through this, Lord? Why is this happening to me? And yet James says, wait a minute, what's he tell us to do, Nan?
Wait.
Count it.
All joy.
Yes, all joy. Count it all joy.
And that's hard to do. How can you count those kind of things joy?
Well, tell me, how can you do that?
With the help of God. You know, when we're going through those kind of things, it's hard to be joyful. You know, but when we realize that it's actually accomplishing something in our lives, it makes it a little bit easier to be joyful. You know, look what God is helping me through.
Mm-hmm.
And leaning to the power of Him to help you, you know, go through, and to have joy as you're going through that. That's difficult, but it's attainable.
Right, right. And James, you know, says, count it all joy, not some joy, but all joy. Hmm. You know, if nothing else, James was pretty black and white.
He's
pretty much a rigorist here. When you fall into various temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Knowing this, not just thinking it, not just, well, maybe this will happen, but James says it's a certainty. The trying of your faith works patience. And you know, that's the one thing you never want to pray for. Well, perhaps that and martyrdom.
Right.
but patience you don't want to pray for because you're really going to need to count it all joy.
Yes.
You know, jokingly, people say, oh, no, don't ever pray for patience.
I've never prayed for patience because I've always heard that.
Yes, Lord, I want, give me patience and I want it now. You know, but the way we get patience, unfortunately, is through these, temptations. And the Greek word there is like trials, persecutions, things like that. You know, whether from other people or the devil, you know, those things work patience in us. And yet James brings that up later in the book. Patience brings up again way back at the end of the book in chapter 5. And Pastor kind of touched on that this morning in church. But James also talks about patience there, and he kind of amplifies on what he said about patience. You know, because it's real brief. It's like James does something real brief, then he amplifies. Then he does another thing really brief, then he amplifies on it.
Like cliffhangers?
Almost. Yeah, he kind of whets your appetite then goes on to something else and then hits you with it again later. But in James chapter 5, starting, you know, with verse, I think it's a, starting with about verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brothers, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman or the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rains. You know, James counsels patience here. You know, the other thing, James wrote his letter, about 45 to 49 A.D. So the church was still really young. And they were looking forward to Jesus coming back any day. They figured, you know, he'd be back any time. And James is counseling patience. And he uses, again, an agricultural thing here. You know, he talks about the farmer looking at the crops, waiting for the early and the latter rains. And in Israel, you have two sets of rains. You have the early rains, which come in the fall, and the latter rains, which come in the spring. And both are needed to start, you know, to get the ground ready for a new crop and then to finish it up, which is very cool. And he says, be like the farmer. Can you be like the farmer, Nan?
That is a goal I can go for.
Well, it's not easy because think about it. Think of the farmer, and, you know, we all plant crops, right? Whether it's, you know, the seed of the word of God into somebody's life, things like that. Do we often see change immediately?
No.
What usually happens?
It occurs over a period of time, and there's many times that we never see close to the end results because you're only in that person's life for a snapshot period of time. Like you were doing the planting. Then that person, and you may not see each other after a long time, someone else is doing some watering in their life. You know, so it's like you don't ever, I don't want to say rarely, but not often do you see from the beginning of the seed being planted to the plant being in full growth. You don't see that the whole
time. Right. You have to have patience. And
yes.
Because there is a matter of time here. Crops don't spring up and bear fruit overnight.
Right.
You know, it takes time. You plant the seed, you water it, it grows, it all takes time. And hopefully nothing interferes with the harvest. You know, again, an allusion back to the parable of the sower and the seed. Mm-hmm. You know, but, you know, James says, be patient like the husbandman, like the farmer, and wait for both rains, but ye also, in verse 8, but ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws near. So James is saying, be patient, but there's something else he says here, establish your hearts, strengthen your hearts, make them strong, but be patient. James is just so, I mean, those are such good advice, because we've got to be patient, because if we're not, I mean, have you ever tried to rush God's work?
Kind of makes a mess of things when you do.
Yeah, I know.
And you mess up what he's all powerful and can get things back on track, but you kind of mess up and interfere with the natural flow of what's supposed to happen when
right.
you try to rush it up.
Right. Yeah, I'm good at that because I don't, you know, sometimes I get impatient and I'm sure I know what God's mind is. So I, you know.
Okay.
There are times you know I that. Tend to, yeah, there are times mm-hmm. I tend to rush God, you know, try and rush God or rush what he's doing.
And how does that work for you?
It does not work well at all.
Okay.
Well, and it's like, you know, say I'm a potter with a clay pot. That takes time and it takes patience to mold that pot. And if I get in a hurry or I try and push it, I might not get all the imperfections out. Mm-hmm. When that pot goes into the kiln, it could crack because maybe I got left a crack in there or left an imperfection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you just kind of have to plant the seeds, pray about the seeds, because I think prayer waters the crop, mm-hmm. as it were. And let God do his work, you know, but it is hard to be patient, and especially being patient, you know. James here specifically in James 5 says, be patient for the coming of the Lord. Okay, I wish he would have come 29 almost years ago, right? You know, he could have come the day after I got saved, mm-hmm. and I would have been real happy, you know. Jesus could have come back then, I would have been real happy. But, you know, it's in his time.
It's in his time.
And he knows, you know, the Father knows the day, the year, the day, the month, the day, the hour that he's going to send Jesus back. And I can trust him with that. And even when I see things going crazy around us, and I made this point on Wednesday night, you know, we can see things going crazy around us, and yet we have to be patient and trust that Jesus has it in control. There's that one verse in Revelation where it talks about the scorpions that come up mm-hmm. out of the abyss, and it says, or I take that back, that the armies crossing the Euphrates, it says they were ready for the, you know, the month, the day, the year. God has everything mm-hmm. planned. He's got his timetable, but sometimes we want to push him a bit because our conception of time is not quite like the Lord's.
Mm-mm.
You know, we're kind of bound by our finite minds, by our finite brains. And yet God sees the future, the past. He sees it all because he's already been there.
Right.
So he already knows. And sometimes it's just kind of hard to relax and let him do what he needs to do.
Well, you know, I'm reminded... Yeah, I was raised in church, and I can remember as far back as I can remember, you know, sitting on a pew as a teenager, and everyone talking about, you know, the coming of the Lord is soon, the coming of the Lord is soon. You know, and of course, every day that goes by, it's sooner. But, yeah, I like to be reminded myself of the technology that we have today. You know, I mean, it so much goes in line with being able to be found or not controlled, but located.
Controlled.
Yeah, located. Because, I mean, like, okay, like, take your phones, for example. My son was going to California, and, of course, mommy was concerned about her 22-year-old son and his safety, which I couldn't do anything about that. But I thought, well, I'll put the finder on it, and you can sit there, and they can actually put, like, it's almost like a reverse GPS. And you could type in the computer, and you can see exactly where that person is. Of course, I had to take it back off because he wasn't very happy about that. But it was
interesting. Imagine that.
I can't imagine such. He said he was going to turn his phone off if I kept it on. But, I mean, but that is amazing technology that, you know, you can just put it in and on a computer I could pull up and see exactly where that cell phone was. Not necessarily where he was, but where that cell phone was. I mean, that's mm-hmm. that's pretty powerful.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, you think back in all... In all the time since Jesus went back up into heaven after his resurrection until now, now is the time when everything has fallen into place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Israel became a nation in 1948. That mm-hmm. had to happen in order for Jesus to come back. There has to be, like, again, like you said, the technology is such that, you know, the mark of the beast
mm-hmm.
could, I mean, that is possible now. That is possible. To implant a microchip.
Yeah, look what they do with the dogs and cats.
Exactly, and it's, you know, I don't want to be, you know, sound like a conspiracy theorist, but And that's one step away
right.
from control. And all it, I, honestly, I was thinking about this the other night because, you know, I do love end time stuff.
Yes, you do.
All it would take would be a big old market crash in Europe mm-hmm. to pave the way for a leader to rule the European market, to rule the, you know, the European Union. And, well, not that I would say that person was the Antichrist, but there'd be a good chance. And spiritually, the way the world is, mm-hmm. We're ripe for somebody to be a false Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Because people do not believe, and I may start preaching here, Nan.
That's okay.
People do
it.
Not believe the simplicity of the gospel. That Jesus, the God became man because he loved us so much. He took on our flesh, our human nature, died on the cross as the sacrifice lamb. Took our sins on the cross, paid the price for every sin from Adam in the garden to the last sin that would ever be committed. He paid the price mm-hmm. for all of those, took it before the Father, took his own blood before the Father. After the resurrection, the Father said, it's enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're reconciled to God. Mm-hmm. What could be simpler than that? And yet you think of, you know, I think of Eastern religions, working your way to God, having to come back any number of reincarnations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just a whole lot of work that we don't got to be doing. Other religions based on works and working our way to God. Well, that's impossible. Mm-hmm. God is perfect. We are not. We're sinners.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of us. We're not perfect, and we cannot work our way into God's presence except by the blood of Jesus. And that's the gospel in a nutshell. And yet people make it so hard. And people will believe other, you know, New Age kind of stuff, like, oh, we're all gods, or you can mm-hmm. become a god, or things like that. And that, I mean, that was a lie, and I just read it yesterday in Genesis chapter 3. That was a lie Satan told Eve and Adam, because Adam was there the whole time, dummy. You know, if he'd opened his mouth and said something, maybe we wouldn't be in this mess. But he didn't, so. But, you know, Satan came into the garden and he said to Eve, did God really say that you couldn't eat of any of the trees of the garden? So what was he doing there? You know, does God really love you? I mean, would a loving God tell you not to eat of the trees of the garden? You know, and that shook Eve quite a bit, mm-hmm. shook her up, because what was her response? Well, only one, we can't even touch it. Well, God never told him they couldn't touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
He just said, don't eat the fruit. And then, you know, because Eve said, oh, God said, even if we touch it, we're going to die. And then Satan just boldly said, no, you won't. You will not die, because mm-hmm. God knows. When you eat it, you'll be like God.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, you're going to be like God. How cool is that, Eve? And she, you know, she took the fruit, she ate it, she gave it to Adam, who was standing there. He ate it, and the human race fell. And, you know, that's the lie. In Romans 1, verse 25, Paul says they believe the lie. They gave themselves over to the lie, which is that lie in the garden. They worship the creation more than the creator. And in 2 Thessalonians 2, chapter 2, verse 11, Paul writes, God will send among them a strong delusion that they should believe the, literally, it's the lie.
Mm.
Going back to that we can become gods, because that's what the Antichrist is going to do, is declare himself to be God. And I agree. I think we live in a fragile world at this point, mm-hmm. very fragile, spiritually, economically, environmentally fragile. And all it's going to take is something to tip that balance, and the world will follow anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Because fallen humanity, look at the Israelites. I mean, well, let me finish my thought there. Fallen humanity will follow anybody who can promise them an easy way out.
Mm-hmm.
The Israelites, They wanted a physical king rather than having God as their king. You know, that was never God's original plan, was not for Israel to be a kingdom. It was for Israel to be a theocracy governed by God. But they chose to have a king, and the first one they chose was Saul, and that made a mess of everything. So I sense a theme there, humans making a mess of things. Imagine that.
Imagine such.
I know. Mm-mm. But, you know, well, there we go. There we go. We got off on that tangent. I told Pastor Marshall we may never make it through the book of James. So.
Well, follow the leading of the Lord, and that's what's right. supposed to be well, said. So, you know.
You know, it's, but it is. I mean, and, you know, we do need to pray a lot because we don't know when Jesus is going to come back. We don't know how bad things are going to get before he comes back. So we just need to be preparing. And that's what James says. Be patient. Establish. Strengthen your hearts. Strengthen your hearts. Yeah, got us back to James.
No, right.
Okay.
Good job.
The next thing that James talks about is wisdom. In James 1, verse 5, and he talks a lot about wisdom later on. Like I said, he brings it up, leaves it, goes back to it and kind of amplifies on it. So James chapter 1 verse 5, the one of the other major themes in James is wisdom. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, and we'll get into this other part of that a little bit later. But he says, you know, if you lack wisdom, ask God. Ask God for it. Wisdom is such an important thing. You know, Solomon said the most important thing is get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get more. You know, get as much wisdom as you can. And I love what James says. And I like the way the King James says it, upbraideth not. I mean, he doesn't condemn you for coming to him. You know, he doesn't mock you or be sarcastic. What? You want more wisdom, Nan? Come on. Didn't I give you enough? God doesn't do that. He says, I want to give you wisdom. God's more than willing to give it to us. We just have to ask for it in faith. Okay? We just have to ask for it in faith. And, you know, Solomon, when he was writing Proverbs, says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So in asking for wisdom, you're actually, you know, asking to be more, I don't want to say fearful, but more reverent of who God is, a more, you know, like a knowledge of God. And I think back to Isaiah, when Isaiah had that vision in Isaiah chapter 6. He saw, he was in God's throne room, and he saw, you know, the seraphim, and he said, woe is me. I mean, he saw himself. I mean, he saw the Lord. Can you imagine that? I mean, just oof.
Pretty powerful.
He saw, and then he said, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. He saw his own spiritual condition. And Job, in chapter 42 of that book, of the book of Job, you know, God appeared to Job in a whirlwind, and Job said, you know, before this, I just heard about you, but now I see you, and I repent. I fall to my knees and I repent in dust and ashes. When you have an encounter with the living God like that, things change, you know, and that's what, you know, James is saying here. Ask God for wisdom. And the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, is the reverence of the Lord. And that's a life-changing thing. And I think, you know, fear is not a cringing fear, like I'm going to go hide in the corner because God's running after me. I'm not like Adam and Eve in the garden when God was walking in the garden. Mm-hmm. He was calling out, Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? And what did they do? They hid. Mm-hmm. Adam and Eve hid and, of course, made that little garments of fig leaves, which I find that that must have taken some ingenuity.
I'm telling you.
But, you know, God found them. And, yeah, he said there's a price to pay. But he didn't withdraw his love from them. Because what did he do? Do you remember what he did after that big long spiel where he cursed the serpent and cursed the ground and made the first actual promise about the coming of the Messiah to Eve? Then do you remember what he did next?
He went and he made them clothes out of animal skin.
And exactly. Exactly. And think about that. That's symbolic of a sacrifice. Something mm-hmm. had to die mm-hmm. in order. Something innocent died in order for them to be covered. And the word for atonement in Hebrew is covered. Mm. Their sins were covered by a sacrifice, and God made that first sacrifice. So, yeah, there was a consequence for sin, but God provided a sacrifice.
Well, you know, there's relating it to today, there's, you know, when we sin, oftentimes there are consequences as a result of whatever it was we sinned about, whatever was going on. But God still loves us.
Right.
I mean, He still loves us. And I think sometimes one of my things that I have been very unfortunately good at, if you want to use such a term, is beating myself up for, I mean, I beat myself up more than anybody else beats me up. You know, if you mess, you
yes,
mess
I
up.
Know.
Yeah, you know. You know.
I've seen it in action, Nan.
Okay. But, you know, I mean, what is so important to remember here is that God still loves us regardless.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there may be some people listening who, like me, have had tendencies to want to beat themselves up because they messed up. It's like, just ask His forgiveness and go on. He's not quit loving you because you did A, B, C, or D, whatever it happened to be.
Oh, that is so good, Nan. Thank you. Because the most amazing thing is, I mentioned before, Jesus died on the cross. His blood was shed for every sin from Adam to the end of the world. And Paul says we're already reconciled to God. But so many of us don't. I've been there, too, where I don't believe it. I mean, I really do. And believe me, I can sin like nobody's business.
Pastor Tim.
Oh, please. I can sin like no, I can sin a big time. And sometimes it's hard to, because forgiveness is, I mean, you know, you need to repent, confess your sin, repent, forsake it, walk away from it. Or you're going to get trapped in it again, of course. But sometimes it's just hard when you oh man, how could I do this again? How could I screw up like this again? What was I thinking? And your first impulse is to run, just like Adam and Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Your first impulse is to run away from God. Or maybe if I just don't talk to God for a while, my sense of my own sinfulness, mm-hmm. my consciousness of it will lessen. Yeah, but that doesn't take it away. And mm-hmm. the point of confessing sin is more for us, because it's our sin that blocks our relationship mm-hmm. with the Father. And He's already, it's like He's reaching down to us. We have to turn around and reach back to Him. And He'll take us by the hand mm-hmm. and take us out of whatever we're in. I'm reminded of the parable of the prodigal son. You know, when you really read that, it's not like the father forgot about his son. No, the context of that is the father was out there every single day looking for that son to come back.
Mm.
Because it says the father saw him from afar. It's like the father was, and you know, if you're just listening, you're not going to see what I'm doing, but it's like, you know, he had kind of shielding his eyes and scanning the horizon, looking for his son. And the prodigal came back. And I'm just getting goosebumps and about ready to break into tears here.
Because I was a prodigal.
We all were prodigals. Yeah, I mean, I've had my prodigal times. But again, the father is not like waiting, it's not like he's ignoring us, like he turns his back on us. Because, no, he's looking for us to come back. He wants us to come back. And then what did he do to the younger son? He threw a party. My son, which was dead, has come back to life. And that's how God looks at us mm-hmm. when we come to know Him through Jesus Christ. My son who was dead has come back to life. Even when we sin, after we get saved, after we know God, God's looking for us. And, you know, we as humans seem to think we have to do things for God in order for Him to love us. And there's nothing we can do. He loves us. He loved us from the moment of our conception. Before we'd done anything, He loves us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sometimes, I mean, I know for me, you know, grace was a really hard concept for me because I kept thinking I have to do things for God in order to get his attention, in order to get him to love me. And yet he loved me all the time. You know, he loved me all the time. Mm. And he loves us all the time. Mm-hmm. No matter, you know, no matter who we are, no matter what we are, no matter what we've done, God loves us. And he wants us to come to him, to have a relationship to him. Otherwise, he wouldn't have sent Jesus. The Father would not have sent his Son if he didn't mean business about being reconciled to us. Mm-hmm. Amen. Ooh, I got preaching there. That doesn't happen very often. So we're going to go to a song now. He Said by, I love the name of this group, Group One Crew.
So your life feels like it don't make sense, and you think to yourself, I'm a good person. So why do these things keep happening? Why you gotta deal with them? You may be knocked down now, but don't forget what he said. He said, just be
song. And you know, that's true. Don't forget what he said. Don't forget what God said. There's so many promises in the Word about, you know, what God has done. And we were talking before I got off on another one of my tangents about wisdom. You know, in James chapter 1, he says, ask for it and God will give it to you. And then he goes on to expand on wisdom over in James chapter 3. He starts out around verse, looks like 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation or good life his works with meekness of wisdom. Wisdom is kind of meek there, apparently, which is fine. That's a good thing. But he says, let him show by his life the wisdom that he has. But then he says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, don't glory about it. Don't boast about it. And be not and lie against the truth. Because he says that kind of wisdom is not from above, but it's earthly, sensual, devilish. Oof. You know, sometimes we think people are wise, but it's really just earthly.
Well, it's earthly wisdom. It's not spiritual wisdom, which is what this is talking about.
Right, you know? Right. Yeah, and it says, for where envying and strife, because he goes back and he says, you know, if there's, you know, if you have envy and strife, then it's not God's wisdom. But he says, where, you know, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Envy and strife will kill a church. Plain and simple.
I've seen it happen.
I have too.
I've seen it happen.
I've seen churches split over it. A church. I was thinking about the other day, and I hadn't thought about this in a long time, but the church I used to go to in my hometown, some people, they envied, I think, the pastorate, the person that was pastor. And so they split. They split off. And it caused a lot of strife because friendships were destroyed at that point.
That reminds me of a church in a small town in southern Georgia where my family was raised. And they have, it's just kind of a small town, but they have several different denominations of churches there. But there was this one particular church that they did a split off, and they named the split off church Unity Church of God. And so my father was teasing his sister because him and her husband were attending this Unity Church of God. And he says, so what is it like? You split off from a church and now you named it Unity. We all have unity now, you know. So it's like, but I mean, it's a shame to see that happen because right. That just, especially in small towns.
Yeah.
I mean, how many churches do you have that you can go to? A handful.
Right. Us four and no more.
Exactly. Yep. That's the way some people believe.
Right. Well, yeah. And Paul says, you know, where there's envy and strife, there's confusion. First of all, it's confusing.
And every evil work.
And every evil work. I mean, there's confusion. And that, you know, I look at that and I think, what happens is, you know, where there's all this strife and everything, nobody knows what anybody's doing because everybody's fighting everybody else. So there's a lot of confusion in every evil work. It just opens the door to all sorts of stuff.
Well, and the church cannot be effective in the way it's supposed to be effective to the world, which is saving souls, because they're all busy battling within the church, within each other, and the confusion that's going on. You know, they're not heading the direction that God ordained them to go.
Right.
They're heading the direction that Satan wants them to go, and some of them do a pretty darn good job at it.
Yeah, unfortunately. Well, and you know, Jesus, and I do believe, Jesus' prayer of John 17 will be answered, that they would be one, even as you were one. And it doesn't mean we're all going to be the same denomination, we're all going to believe exactly the same, but we're all going to see it around Jesus. That's who's important here. That's who's important. And when personalities or doctrines get in the way, I mean, yes, believe me, you know, everybody at church knows I'm really big on certain doctrines. I think there are some doctrines cannot be compromised. But sometimes we get into fights about the silliest things. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of like that old medieval question, how many angels can dance on the head of a pin? Who cares? Mm-hmm. You know? You know, and that's why I think Paul warned in so many of his letters, don't get into discussions like that. You know, stick with the big stuff. That's, you know, and Jesus said, it's me. I'm your unity. Okay? And so, you know, Paul says, James says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Okay? It's pure. It's like ivory soap. It's pure. Then peaceable. I like that. I mean, it's pure. It's clean. Then it's peaceful. Mm. God's wisdom does not promote confusion or chaos. Some of pastor's favorite words.
Yes.
Yes. God's wisdom promotes purity, purity of life. It promotes peace. And then it says, gentle. Gentle. You know, God's wisdom doesn't push itself on other people. If you're truly a wise person, you're not rude. You're not a rude person. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I see this is, gentle, you're not rude, you're not pushing, you're not shoving to get your point across. And I have to admit, I do that sometimes. And I love this in the King James, and easy to be entreated. That means you're approachable, people can ask you for stuff, you know. and then full of mercy. Full of mercy.
That's a tough one at times.
It is, because it's kind of our fallen nature to want to judge and be judge, jury, and executioner. You know, we see somebody, and especially somebody, I mean, one of the things that really gets me is when somebody attacks the church, and not just Beacon, but the church as a whole, the true believing body of Christ. That I have a real hard time showing mercy. And that's especially where it needs to be shown, because most of the time people don't know what they're doing when they say things like that, when they attack the church. But you're right. Why do you think it's so hard for us to show mercy?
Because of our human nature, and because we want to be right.
Because we want to be right. We want to be proven right, and by gosh, I'll prove you right. I'll condemn you. You know, and Paul says the same thing. Be merciful. As you were shown mercy, show mercy.
It's hard to show mercy to some people, you know? I mean, for some people, that can be a true struggle to grant mercy to someone who has wronged them.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe humanly, you're justified in not granting mercy in the eyes of the world. You would be certainly justified with some people who've had certain things done to them in the past or dealt with different things, you know. But it's hard to show mercy back on someone who's hurt you. But it's
right.
Better for you if you can do that.
Right. Mercy and forgiveness kind of go hand in hand. And you're right. But remember, I really like Pastor's definition of forgiveness. I'm not saying what you did to me was right. I'm saying I'm just letting go of it. And you're kind of like letting, you know, you're letting that person off the hook. You're not never agreeing with what they did was right. But you're not going to, in a sense, by forgiving, you're not letting that have any power over you.
Mm-hmm.
So showing mercy is a way to actually empower yourself, because you're not going to let what somebody else did to you rule you. Because showing mercy means, okay, I forgive you. Doesn't mean I agree with what you did, but I'm gonna let God deal with it, which sometimes can be a kind of frightening prospect.
Yeah, because we don't like the way He deals with it, against our human nature of what we think should be done.
How dare He forgive them?
How dare He forgive them? Doesn't He see what they did to me?
Yeah, well, of course. Then I okay. Didn't you see what they did to my son? You know,
that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that popped into my head. Okay, full of mercy and full of good fruits. Okay, yeah. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, again, and all those. You know, just and then fruit is also like the disciples that we make, you know, things we do for God. You know, Paul says mercy is full of good fruit without partiality. And that's a big one in James. He says, don't be partial. Somebody's got more money or whatever. You don't show them more favor than a poor person. You know, so true wisdom is not partial. It judges righteously, to use a scriptural term. Mm. True wisdom judges righteously, judges rightly. And it says, and without hypocrisy. Okay. If anybody's going to complain about the church, what do they usually say? I don't want to go to church because it's full of
hypocrites.
Yeah, so half the time I do think that's an excuse, but it's true. I mean, yes, there are hypocrites in church, and I've been hypocritical about stuff. I mean, I don't think there's anybody who hasn't been hypocritical at some point. But you know, Paul says the wisdom that comes down from above is not hypocritical. It doesn't have hypocrisy. So, and then he says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by them that make peace. And that's a great thing. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. It's not sown in discord. It's sown in peace by those that make peace. You know, there's just so much great stuff in this letter. You know, we could have probably spent, I don't know, a year going through
probably.
James. But, you know, so James talks, you know, about wisdom. And here it is. It's been an hour almost, and we've covered two of the six.
Okay.
Well, I told Pastor I wasn't sure we'd get through all of them, but...
Well, you did the first two half hour each, so you're given 15 minutes for each of the last four.
Yeah, 15 minutes for the other four. Well, that's not going to happen, I can tell you that. But, yeah, it's great, and I like this. You know, James says, ask for wisdom. And what did Jesus say? Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door shall be opened. You know, that's an invitation. And we all need God's wisdom. We need his wisdom in our lives. Mm-hmm. Because how else, in a world like today, how else are we going to live unless we have God's wisdom? Mm-hmm. You know, and I love the book of Proverbs, and I would recommend it to anybody out there. If you're looking for wisdom, read the book of Proverbs, because it's obviously that's all it is. It's all wisdom sayings. There's so much good information in there about how to live, and that's why that's kind of like, you know, in James it's called the Proverbs of the New Testament, because it is. It's just these little short, pithy little pieces of advice that he gives all the way through, and yet somehow it all ties together. It's a wonderful thing.
Well, you know what I have found interesting in going through the book of James is a lot of those verses I've heard. You know, I've heard a lot of verses throughout, you know, my years of being involved with church, and I'm usually not really good necessarily on their location unless I specifically try to force myself. But I've heard a lot of scripture, and a lot of scripture used and reused and reused throughout the years, and there were a lot of little nuggets I'd heard that all of a sudden, oh, is that where it was?
It's
in James. All right.
Yeah, that's and you know that's a good thing, and it's not like you have to know exactly, you know, but that's cool that you thought, oh, wait a minute, that's from the book of James. Now I know, and I know there's some songs in the book of James, you know, that we sang years and years ago in my youth. Mm-hmm. But it's just a good. Well, so coming up in our next hour, we'll be talking more about. Oh, probably talk about the tongue. Mm. And I do want to talk about faith and works, because I think that's really, really important. But just really briefly, in the next 2 minutes before station identification, I want to talk about James talks a lot about the rich and the poor.
Mm.
You know, he is kind of like an Old Testament prophet when it comes down to that, because the prophets spoke a lot about social injustice. One of the big sins, apart from just the general religious apostasy that Judah and Israel went through, was their treatment of the poor. And, you know, James talks a lot about that, where he talks about don't be partial to the rich. And you rich folks, just remember, it's all going to burn anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's just all going to burn. And he reminds the poor, you know, remember how you've been treated. Just remember that, and he exhorts the rich to treat the poor better. And I think that's really, really important, you know, especially as we've been in such uncertain financial times, and then we have to remember God said in, you know, in Ezekiel 16, he called out the sin of Sodom, and had nothing to do with sex. It had a lot to do with being nasty to the poor.
Mm.
So I think that's something really important to remember, mm-hmm. that it's not just, you know, religiously or sexually, but it's how you treat your brother, your fellow man, your fellow human beings. Mm-hmm. God's really concerned about that. So, want to take station identification? We'll be right back.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock. And FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.
Welcome back to Living the Good Life, Ministry of Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we are located at 3700 Ulmerton Road in Clearwater, and we want to take just a brief moment to remind everybody about the prayer ministry that we have. And Nan, would you like to talk about that briefly?
Briefly, Nan will say, we have a prayer ministry, and if anyone has a prayer request, they can send that to prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. And there's a prayer team, and various ones will pull those prayer requests off. and we'll send it out to everyone who's on the prayer team. And so if someone has a prayer request, they can send it in. If someone wants to be on the prayer team, they can send in that also on prayers at Beacon of Hope.
And we'll add you to the list.
And we'll add you to the list.
Amen. Well, we're going to go to a song now, Promises by Sanctus Real, but we do want to say, I want to say hi to Nathan. I guess, Nathan, you're on the line?
Yes, I am.
All right. We'll be back with you as soon as we hear this song, Promises by Sanctus Real.
Sometimes it's hard to keep believing in what you can't see, that everything happens for a reason. Even the worst life brings. If you're reaching for an answer, then you don't know what to pray. Just open up the pages, let His word be your strength, and hold on to the promises. Hold on to the promises. Jesus is alive, so hold tight. That will heal you, not even His own Son. His love is everlasting, His faithfulness unending. Oh, if God is for us, who can be against us? So if you feel weak, just hold on. Just hold on.
What a great song. What a great song. Okay, so Nathan, I want you to be thinking about that song for the worship team, okay? I was here. Okay. Nan was looking at me because I was tapping my feet. I was really getting into this.
He was doing more than tapping those feet. Let me tell you, they were moving.
I had happy feet.
You did have happy feet.
Yeah. Well, welcome. Welcome, Nathan. Good to hear you.
Hi, yeah. Nathan.
Hello, hello, darling.
How are you doing, my baby?
I am doing fine.
Great.
I was sitting here listening to you and getting it and just enjoying it.
Fantastic.
Well,
you know,
good.
It's really interesting. The book of James is not something I haven't heard before many, many times in my life and career as a Christian. But every time I hear it, it seems to take me a little deeper and a little deeper. And this time it took me deeper still. And it's like, wow. And listening to the things that you're saying, You're right on point.
It is a great book, and I think it's one that I just think a lot of people tend to overlook it. Mm-hmm. People I think in general would, you know, let's do a study of the book of Romans or, you know, 1 Corinthians. Mm-hmm. James tends to, I think, really does tend to get overlooked a lot. And you're right. It is just full of
it's packed full of full of God's wisdom.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
You know, it tells us how to live. It tells us how to live as a Christian, how a Christian is supposed to live.
Right. Right. And it's not easy sometimes to live that way, but, you know, James, I do believe James did live it, and because he did, and he, you know, human, just like us, then that's comfort. That's comfort to me, although I don't have camel knees like James did, but maybe one day.
Well, you know, James, I mean, I was looking here in my Bible, and probably in most Bibles, it's only 4 pages. You can kind of get looked over because it's only a 4-page book, but there's so many wonderful golden nuggets within that book.
Mm-hmm. Well, like you said before, Nan, you know, all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah, I know that verse. It's from James.
There was one thing I must share before we get back. And down in 12, it said, but yet let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. And I made a note here that it came out when you were teaching, you know, that was one of the scriptures, and about one of my aunts, because she's a real interesting person, but she'll say those words, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. And when she gets upset at the church, she'll say that.
Okay, well, that's...
She's 85, so we got to just look over a lot with her,
well,
okay?
But again, that's another piece of advice that James gives, you know.
Right.
He says, you know, don't boast about it, and don't swear by any, you know, don't go swearing by this, that, or the other thing. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. I mean, and that speaks to integrity. I mean, exactly. You know, if you say yes, I'm going to do this, or no, I'm not going to do this, then that's, James says, that's fine, because our integrity should be, if we say yes, then people know, yes, we're going to do it, or whatever the circumstance is.
Mm-hmm.
But if not, you know, if we say no, then that's fine, too.
Yes or no.
Just stand by it. And again, that kind of gets into that double-minded thing that James talks about a couple of times in the book. You know, being double-minded, it means actually being of like a split head, split brain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of going off in two different directions. And, you know, he says in James 1, don't let that person think they're going to get anything from God. You know, because they're sitting on the fence. They're wavering back and forth. And, you know, Elijah, we sang this morning, Days of Elijah. Mm. Oof, one of my favorite songs of all time. Yeah, I almost toppled into the drum set this morning. I thought I was going to scare Christina. But, you know, Elijah, when he confronted the people, he said, how long are you going to sit on the fence? If God's God, then serve him. If Baal is God, then serve him. But make up your minds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't serve God one day, then go serve the flesh another. You know, one, then switch back and forth. Just be consistent.
I did a lot of that inconsistency stuff throughout a lot of my adult life. You know, not doing it now, but I have certainly spent years doing that.
I'm pretty sure we all have.
Yeah. You think?
I was waiting on Nathan to agree with me.
Yeah, Nathan. Nathan.
Well, I have. There have been times when I didn't feel like serving God, and I was serving my flesh more than serving God. And, of course, it got me into a little trouble.
Yeah, unfortunately, it usually does.
Yeah.
Well.
So, of course, I go running back to God.
Well, that's the best.
And he takes me back.
Yeah. Well, and we talked about that, you know, earlier, that that's the best, and it's actually the only thing that we really need to do is to run, you know, run back to God. And, who was it? There was a singer back in the 80s that had a song, Run to You. She did, I forget her name, but she had... that was one of the songs. Ooh.
Whitney Houston.
No, it wasn't Whitney Houston. Because she did a lot of praise songs.
Not Sandy Patty.
No. But see, I had Sandy Patty's name stuck in my head. That's why I can't think of. She did Lamb of God and He is Exalted. I can see her picture because I have her greatest hits. Anyway, she did a song. Ooh.
Reba?
No. Ooh, I run to you, which is really good because that's what we need to do. When something happens and we mess up, we need to run to God.
oftentimes we we don't do that for a while till we're pinned down. Then all of a sudden we decide to run to God.
Yeah, we tend to be like Jacob. We have to wrestle with God first.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was an old, well, not old, it was back in the 70s, a musical on Broadway called Your Arm's Too Short to Box with God.
So, okay.
And that's true. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, God kind of holds us out there and we're trying to box with God and our arms are just too short. You know, he's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's true. I mean, I have too. I mean, there was a period of time when I came out that I ran from God. I didn't want anything to do with God because I'd been told that, you know, I'd be cured, I'd be healed, I'd be delivered, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And none of that happened. So I figured I would just indulge myself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I did. But, you know, that whole time, it's like, you know, God had that little hook in my jaw here, and he still just, you know, he let me go like a good fisherman. He let me go out a little bit, then he started reeling me back in. Mm. And it's funny, when my ex-wife and I divorced, she got everything but my oldest Bible. I could have cared at that point, but I wasn't going to give up my Bible. You know, there again, you know, God just.
Yeah.
He's really, yeah, you're right. He reels us in.
Yeah, gently.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't.
He's very gentle with us. He's not a God that is harsh or judgmental or in any way like wanting to punish us. He's not eager to punish us.
Right, right.
He wants to bring us into his mercy, into his love.
Right, exactly. And I mean, that's the whole thing. Sometimes we have a hard time accepting his mercy and his forgiveness when it's the easiest thing in the world. Except we think kind of like, you know, we have to offer some sort of sacrifice to God to get his attention, to gain his love. Well, you know what? That sacrifice was already made. Mm-hmm. We can't duplicate that sacrifice because that sacrifice was Jesus.
Yep.
And we can't duplicate that. There's no way we can.
No way.
Now, but he does. This quiz time for you guys. What sacrifice does God require of us? That we be a
living sacrifice.
Okay.
Yay, Nathan.
Yay, Nathan. Yes, that's the sacrifice God requires. That in view of God's mercy, Paul says, present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and, you know, acceptable to God. Okay, that's what he wants. It's like, yeah, he wants a sacrifice. He wants all of us, every bit of us. Mm-hmm. That's the sacrifice he requires. But me, you know, like some people, I think, give money to church because they think that's going to get God's attention, or they do works for God. Like, clean the church or give to the poor, serve in missions or whatever. And those are all good things. But if you're putting them ahead of faith, here we go into faith and works. If you're putting them ahead of faith, they're useless.
Right.
You know, they have to spring from faith.
Right. There's nothing that we can do to gain God's favor.
Right.
There's nothing we can do that hasn't already been done.
Right.
We think that so many times because of the way our world is and the way our society is that we have to merit God's favor by being victorious in this area or that area. And I've got to not lie today. I'm not going to lie today. You know,
You know when you say that, something's going to come up, and you're just really going to need to lie about something. You know, that's just kind of how that works. But that's so true, because sometimes we put works before faith, and works have to come from faith. I mean, James says that, Paul says that. Our good works, what we do for God, has to spring from our faith. not right. the other way around, because then right. it's just dead works.
Right.
You know, and yeah,
that is so hard not to get into dead works.
Well, yeah, I know.
People
been there.
Push you that way. You know?
Well, our own nature pushes us, you know, pushes us that way. That, and again, I mean, I made the point earlier, and maybe that's when Christianity is almost, true Christianity is almost too easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God did it all, and yet we have such a hard time accepting that, because there's just, you know, I think maybe because of the way we were brought up, we our own unworthiness, whatever, we really, really have an issue with that.
Right. Well, I mean, remember back at the Tower of Babel, where they said, well, we'll just build this tower to heaven. And God said when the men put their minds to it, they could do anything.
Right. Unity's powerful.
And we believe that. we believe that we can build this tower to heaven, and we can get there on our own merit. We can get there on our own graces or whatever. And what God did for us wasn't enough. That Jesus dying on the cross for our sins was not enough. And we don't, I mean, not literally think that way, but we act that way.
Right, right. We may say that it was enough, but yeah, sometimes we think, and I got to add a little bit to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes that's institutionalized by faith and baptism, or faith and tithing, or faith and cleaning the toilets, or whatever. You know, whatever it is,
right.
we think we have to add something to just plain simple faith. And again, you know, James says, "Show me your faith by your works. Let your works spring from your faith." Paul says in probably one of the most quoted verses, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves. It's not of works, lest any of you boast."
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But we are recreated in Christ Jesus. What does Paul say? For good works.
Mm-hmm.
By grace we're saved in order to do good works. He kind of says the same thing in Titus. You know, we're saved so that we can do good works, so that the world can know that the good works we do are to show that we're Christians. And that's James' whole point with that whole faith and works thing, is not that we're saved by works, but that people will know that we're saved by our works.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, you know, remember when you were a baby Christian, how you wanted to do everything right? And as a baby Christian, we would reach out and we would talk, and we would, I mean, how many toes did we step on? How many people did we turn off, you know, to want to be a Christian, because we were bouncing off the walls, so to speak, and just, you know.
Our hearts were in the right place, but boy, our brains sure were out of gear.
We lacked wisdom.
Yes.
We lacked wisdom.
We needed to ask of God, who gives to each one liberally.
Yes.
But that's true. I remember stepping on toes. Heck no, honey. I was using a steamroller. You know, I was mowing those sinners down right and left. So,
oh my goodness. Oh
yeah.
My goodness.
We'll talk about that some other. I mean, we even had ongoing graffiti on the bathroom walls about me being a Jesus freak. So,
oh my goodness.
Oh, you would not believe. So, I'm going to take a quick song break here. We've got a song, Whatever You're Doing. Hey, how's that fit in? By Sanctus Real.
It's time for healing. Time to move on. It's time to fix what's been broken too long. Time to make right what has been wrong. It's time to find my way to where I belong. There's a wave that's crashing over me, and all I can do is surrender. Whatever you're doing inside of me, it feels like chaos.
There's another song we need to consider for the praise team. That fits with what we've been talking about. You know, God does an inside work on us, and that's where everything has to spring from, is that inner work that God does inside of us. You know, otherwise, whatever we do counts for nothing.
Yeah.
You know, unless it springs from faith, it counts for nothing. Nan, you're frowning. I know you have a thought there.
Oh, no. It wasn't a frown.
It was kind of a scrunched up. I'm really thinking hard about something here.
Yeah, she's just thinking. She's listening. She's taking it all in. And yes, you have a thought.
Thank you, Brother Nathan. No, I was thinking about when I was in periods of in leadership in church, I was just thinking that. You know, we did a lot of things behind the scenes. We did a lot of things in front of the scenes. We just did whatever needed to be done to take care of things. And that's just a thought that was going through my mind was, you know, it comes from within. And none of it, I can honestly say, and with all honesty, I have never done anything for it to be seen or looked upon by man to say, oh, wow, look what Nan has done. Never. I mean, never. And all the, you know, we, like I said, we were up front with certain things because it was our responsibility. A lot of behind the scenes things, a lot of things that put a lot of time into that the majority of people didn't even know about. But right. It was for right. God. It wasn't for show. It was for God.
Well, and I think that's kind of the other thing about this is it has to spring from faith and it has to spring from selflessness. And that, again, that goes back to what Jesus said about, you know, like the Pharisees, when they would pray, they'd stand on the street corners and pray loudly so people would marvel at their holiness, you know. They would make a big show about giving alms, about their giving in the synagogue or the temple, you know, just to have people say, oh, wow, did you see what, you know, Rabbi John gave. Oh, it was so impressive, you know. That, and again, that's just dead works, you know. you know.
But it happened. It's still happening today. There are lots and lots and lots of people in the body of Christ that do things for show.
Mm-hmm.
That and do things so other people will see and marvel.
And right. That's as far as
we do, and we do see it, and we do marvel. You
know? Yeah, that like, that's and that's the sad part.
Yeah, we wish we could do it. You know?
But then that's their reward.
Yeah,
they, I mean that's what the Bible says. That's their reward.
They have their reward in full.
Yeah, it's done. It's done.
Right.
They
right.
don't have the reward from heaven for that, from God for that.
Right. Well, and I think you know we just need again. It's an attitude of the heart. And, you know, Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love,
mm-hmm.
it's nothing. Yeah. If I have all faith so as to remove mountains, if I give my body to be burned, but I don't have faith, it's nothing. Or don't have love, it's nothing. And, you know, again, those concepts, faith, hope, love, they're mm-hmm. all so intertwined mm-hmm. that you can't have one without the other. And the motivation has to be from those. You know, good works spring from faith.
Mm-hmm.
Good works spring from love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul says what matters is faith energized through love. Faith mm-hmm. working through love.
You know, I also like that word hope.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that God gives us something to hope for.
Right.
That we're all hoping for and looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ. You know, I think that's a wonderful, wonderful thing, and I'm just excited about that. And so, you know, I mean, this is going to be the last thing I say. But, I mean, I'm really enjoying the program today, and I really enjoyed the Book of James and our study of the Book of James, the Beacon of Hope. It was just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. It's a wonderful book.
Yeah, it is, and, truly.
Oh, I mean, it's eye-opening. I mean, you think you know it, and then all of a sudden you find out you don't.
mm-hmm. No, God has a way of doing that, you know.
Yes, he does, doesn't he? Yes, he does. But praise God, praise God, praise God for you, too. I love you.
Love and you, too. Are you signing too, off?
Yeah.
Is he signing
yeah,
off?
I believe Nathan is signing off.
It sounds like Nathan's signing off. Well, brother, thank you for joining us.
And we will see you on Wednesday night.
It was my privilege and my pleasure, and I am looking forward to seeing you on Wednesday night.
Okay. Thanks, okay. Nathan.
Bye. We love you.
Love you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Nathan. Yeah, and, you know, Nathan was talking about, I love that, about the hope.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's true, because these three abide, faith, hope, and love. Mm-hmm. But the greatest of these is love. But you have those three things, mm-hmm. and it's true. Without, you know, faith is now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, right now. Faith is right now. And love is everywhere,
mm-hmm.
you know, beginning to end. Hope is the future. Mm-hmm. You know, hope is kind of what pins our faith, what helps our faith grow. Because without hope, what do you have? You know, if we don't have hope.
Well, doesn't it say in the Bible, without hope, the people perish? Is that in the Bible? Or somewhere else?
Without vision, the people
perish. Oh, okay. Something. I'm sorry about
That's quite all right.
The vision is hope.
That's true. Well, and in a sense, yes, because like Nathan said, we have the hope, the blessed hope of the coming of Jesus mm-hmm. Christ. So, and the writer of Hebrews says, hope is an anchor to the soul. That anchor goes into the Holy of Holies, into heaven. That's what anchors our souls, is hope. Because without that, then we've got nothing. We'll just be kind of sliding around like we're on a ship in a hurricane.
Mm.
You know, powerless, being pounded by the wind and the waves, going every which direction, having no control. And yet hope gives us that control, gives us that anchor where we can remain steadfast. You know, and again, the blessed hope, the return of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
You know, I think, you know, I read the news, and if I didn't have Jesus, I'd be really scared.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I just read articles about how Iran did some cyber terrorism with oil refineries in the Persian Gulf, and they apparently did some cyber terrorism with some banks and things. Mm. It's like, and now Lebanon, Hamas, or the Hezbollah has drone planes that they're sending over mm-hmm. Israel. If I wasn't a Christian, I'd be really concerned, because this mm-hmm. planet is on the brink of war mm-hmm. all the way around. I mean, mm-hmm. just so much is going on. And I never will forget, got to take a little sideline here. I got saved on, I told Nan, October mm-hmm. October 30th, 1973. Well, just before that, and I was still kind of, it's strange, but when I went to college, and I went to the same school, university that Pastor did, we just went there a few years apart, my pastor told me, you know, he wanted me to get involved with Campus Crusade for Christ, because I was a good little church-going boy. And, you know, I always attended church because it looked good. You know, we're supposed to attend because it made us look good in the community. And I don't know that I had any real faith at that point, but a friend of mine introduced me to The Late Great Planet Earth, the mm-hmm. book by Hal Lindsey, mm-hmm. and a couple other books that I'd read on the end times. So, you know, I was into that, even though I wasn't saved. I was really into that. And then my pastor said I should, when I go up to Ball State, I should join Campus Crusade for Christ. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, right. Like, that's going to happen. You know, believe me, that was the furthest thing from my mind. I was going to go up to college, and I was going to enjoy myself. Mm-hmm. It ended up, I really did enjoy myself, but for all the right reasons. And one of the leaders of Campus Crusade for Christ lived on my floor in the dorm. Mm. Imagine that. Imagine mm-hmm. that. How odd is that? So, of course, I got involved in the Bible study. And, Nan's doing this little fishing reel thing. God was reeling me in. But that was the year of the Yom Kippur War, when Arab nations attacked Israel on Yom mm-hmm. Kippur, on the Day of mm-hmm. Atonement. And I remember that I was thinking, oh, it's the rapture, it's the rapture. I was, you know, practicing my jumping up and down, get ready for the rapture. Obviously, it wasn't at that point, but I got saved shortly after that. But, you know, again, we've been on the brink. I can think in my own lifetime, because I'm pretty old now, Cuban Missile Crisis. I remember as a child, I was in the second grade when the Cuban Missile Crisis was going on. They had us getting under our desk and putting our head between our knees, like that was going to save me from a nuclear holocaust. I mean, come on. But, you know, I remember the fear then, and the Cold War, and, you know, the all the problems in the Middle East. Jesus is our hope in all of this. Without him, I'd be really running scared. I honestly don't know what I would do, but I know that all this is working together in a plan.
I want to say something that reminded me of, you know, we we've already touched on it. You know, when we go through different generations and everyone feels that Jesus is coming soon, Jesus is coming now, Jesus is coming now. I remember a time I was not walking with the Lord properly, and I was married. He was in the military. We were in we were in Jacksonville. So, Jacksonville, Florida. So, I remember I couldn't find him. I thought he was in the trailer. Couldn't find him. I thought he was in out with the flowers. We had a lot of flowers. Couldn't find him. I thought the rapture had taken place. So, it gets better. It gets better. Because I was so concerned about it, I called my pastor to see if my pastor was there. Well, my pastor was there. He answered the phone. And about the time, here comes my husband through the front door. I was like, oh, I'm sorry, Pastor. I thought the rapture taking place. Bye, and I hung up. So, of course, being a good pastor.
He called you right back.
He called me right back, and I made Eddie answer the phone, and he wanted to speak to me. Anyway, that's what reminded me of, you know, it's a scary, I was saying that to say, it's a scary feeling. I can remember, hadn't thought of it since it happened, probably. That's been 30 years ago. But it was scary to think it had happened and that I had missed what I knew was there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was scared. I mean, I was scared. Then I was embarrassed. But those couple minutes were, it just gripped my heart. I was so scared. I thought I had missed it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've had maybe not quite as exciting as yours, but there have been times when I'm like, I'm looking for somebody I know is Christian and I can't find him.
Right.
I'm like, oh, did it happen? Did I miss it? But yeah, I remember as a child, my people that lived down the street talked about, they went to church a lot and they talked about the end of the world. And you know how sometimes, and the city that I lived in, it just installed new lights, new street lights. And I was, you know, just a little kid. I was like 6 or 7, maybe, or maybe 8. But they just installed new street lights. And you know when you have those low clouds, those lights bounce off. You know, they'll bounce off the clouds, and the whole sky is kind of reddish.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, it's the end of the world. I'm going to die. And here I am, a little 8-year-old, scared to death. Now, you think that, you know. Mm-mm. But again, that's kind of God planting that in me.
Right.
Because at that point, I had no, all I knew was, you know. And of course, it's not that the world's going to be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people have that misconception. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be destroyed. It's going to be renovated. You know, when Jesus comes back, it's the end of this age, not the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
This age will come to an end, and we'll enter into a new age, the millennial age.
Mm.
And that's a great thing. You know, that's a wonderful thing. I can't wait. Now I'm ready, you know.
Now I'm ready.
Now I'm ready. Come on, God. Come on, let's move it. You know, but again, it may not happen before. You know, there used to be a saying back in the Jesus movement, back in the early 70s, see you there or in the air, you know.
Okay.
And, you know, that's true. You know, but I'd love, but I figure, hey, if I'm already dead when he comes back, I get to go up first.
There you go.
You know.
Either way you're going.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had talked a little bit, you know, we talked a lot actually about the second coming of Jesus. Who knew? Just because it's one of my favorite topics.
Well, maybe some people need to, I don't want to use the word challenge, be challenged. Encouraged. Encouraged is a good word. Maybe they need to be encouraged to the realization that, you know, that they need to incorporate hope, faith, and love in their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
and look towards the second coming of Christ. And if they're not doing exactly what they should be doing, just get back in line. Ask God to forgive you. Move forward. We've talked about how, what a loving God he is, you know, and maybe they just need to hear that today. Jesus is coming. There's no doubt about it. He is coming. You haven't seen it yet.
He's on his way.
He's on his way.
And again, I do truly believe that what we say here isn't idle. You know, it's not, we don't talk, we're just not talking just to hear ourselves talk.
Right.
And I believe that, as you know, because we always pray before the radio show. And I believe you're absolutely right. There are people out there that need to hear what we're saying. Even if it's not what we originally thought we were going to talk about, then obviously God's in control. And there's somebody out there that needs to hear this, that needs to have their hope restored, that needs to know that as bad as it looks, then, you know, there's hope. There is hope. And that hope is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the same God. We're going to listen to The Same God by New Song.
Back to the wall, scared you fall. What you gonna do? Day and night, don't know why. It's like the world against you. You know,
happens for a reason. There's a time, there's a place for every season. He knows what's best for you, so don't be afraid. The same God with you then is with
Amen. The same God is with you now. The same God who was with you then is with you now. And that just ties in so well to kind of the theme we've had today, that God loves you. And some of you may have known God before. You know, you may have walked with God before. You may have, you know, had an experience with God where you gave your life over to Him. And maybe something's happened. Maybe you walked away from God. Things have, you know, and that happens. It's happened to me. It's happened to Nan. It happened to Nathan. He talked about it a little bit earlier. You know, we all have those times, and some, you know, for whatever reason, we sometimes walk away from God and we lose our hope. And, you know, this song was so good because it's the same God who is with you then. He's mm-hmm. with you now. And God wants you to come back to Him. He wants to give you hope again. Mm-hmm. You know, in this society, we're bombarded by promises, by statistics, by promises. You know, we're just bombarded by it. And yet, the best promise you can have is the promise that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, that's a promise you can depend on. Promises made by people, their chances are they're going to break them. You know? But the promises in the Bible, those are the promises you can depend on. You know, Paul says in 2 Corinthians that every promise of God is yes in Jesus Christ. And through Him, through Jesus, we add the amen. We add the so be it to every promise in this book. And so it's important, if, you know, if you're out there and you've lost hope, if you've given up on God, if you feel like God's given up on you, know that He has not. Know that He still loves you. He's the same God. He wants to be back in relationship with you. And Isaiah the prophet wrote, He longs to be gracious to you.
You know, it doesn't matter what someone has done. You know, I mean, some things you can think of, oh, man, they did that. Oh, wow. But, you know, that's the way God looks at it. You just repent and move forward. You know, just keep on trucking for Him. He'll give you hope. You can have hope regardless of how hopeless your situation may be right now.
Right, right. Yeah, and it may be financial. There may be financial issues. There could be physical health issues. You know, God had, in the Old Testament, revealed Himself under all sorts of different covenant names. Yahweh Yireh, the Lord who sees and provides. Mm. Yahweh Shalom, the Lord our peace. The Lord, and the word, you know, in Hebrew, the word for peace, Shalom, means wholeness. The Lord who makes us whole. Mm. Yahweh Seed Kenu, the Lord our righteousness. The Lord who makes us righteous, who gives us right standing with himself. Mm. You know, Yahweh Nisi, the Lord our banner of victory. The Lord that gives us victory. Those are his, you know, those are his covenant names. And just what, you know, whatever your need is, you know, there's a promise in the Bible for every possible need you could have. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, and I would encourage you, you know, you can write to Pastor Marcia, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. You can write to me, Pastor Jim, @beaconofhopeministries.com. You know, let us know, or do the, you know, write to the prayer line. We want to pray with you, and talk with you if that's what you want. But just know that God loves you; He always has and always will.
You know, I'm just thinking, just as you started saying that, I was thinking the same thing, that, you know, if they have questions, if they say, but this is what I'm facing right now, send an email. You guys will respond back to. I mean, I have utilized both of you, you know, at times whenever I've needed. I've, you know, would email you. I remember specifically a question I had in Matthew. I was reading through Matthew, and I had a question and a couple questions, and I sent them to you, and you sent them back to me pretty promptly, I might add, and giving me answers to, you know, my questions that I had. So, you know, certainly do that.
And I was going to say, if there's anyone out there listening and you need a promise for your situation, email me, PastorJim@beaconofhopeministries.com, and I will send you back some Bible scriptures that you can, as Pastor likes to say, put in your arsenal, mm-hmm. you know, regarding whatever your situation is, because that's important that we be able to ground our hope in the Word of God. Otherwise, we're building on sand, not rock. Because Jesus said, you know, whoever builds their house on these words of mine is like, or, you know, whoever does these words of mine is like someone who builds their house on the rock. And the rock, you know, the Word of God is our rock. Mm-hmm. God is our rock. We need to build our lives on that, because that's what's going to keep us steady. You know, Isaiah also said that God's, you know, he's talking about God. He said, "You're the steadiness of my times. Mm. You make me steady when everything else crumbles." You know, and that kind of goes along with Yahweh Shalom, the Lord our peace, not chaos, peace. Mm-hmm. So I just want to encourage all of our, you know, all the listeners, if you have questions, if you have prayer requests, let us know so that we can get those out there for you. Because we believe, you know, we believe in the Word of God. We believe that God acts today, that He is acting today in our behalf, in your behalf. Just let Him do that, because He wants the best for you. And I know sometimes that's hard to believe, that why would He want the best for me? Again, all I can do is quote John 3:16, "For God so loved you," mm-hmm. "you, that He gave His only begotten Son, that when you believe in Him, you'll have everlasting life." You pass from judgment mm-hmm. into life when you believe in Jesus. And it's not just, as you know, it's not just fire insurance. Mm-hmm. Salvation encompasses everything. Because, you know, it's wholeness. I mean, it's not just forgiveness of sins and getting into heaven, but it's healing and wholeness and prosperity and just goodness and faith and hope and love, and all that is wrapped up in it. And that's what God wants to pour out mm-hmm. on you. So I just want to take a couple of minutes and pray. I want to pray for the people that are listening and just ask, you know, just want to pray for you and really believe that God's going to move in your life, in your situation. Well, Father, we do come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask that you would just move on the people who are listening. Father, we don't know all the individual situations, but we ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would restore hope. where hope has been lost. That you would restore faith where faith has been lost. That you would pour out your love where love has been abandoned. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would move by your Holy Spirit, that you would move upon people who are listening, Father. Lord, we ask that you would just bring them to a point of surrender to you, and that they would know you, the one true God, and Jesus, the Messiah, whom you have sent. Father, in a society like this, and in just a world like it is, it's no wonder that the people are crazy. But we ask you, Lord, to restore peace and hope to those who are listening today. Father, let us always keep our eyes upon you. And Father, I pray where there's need of healing, that you would just move to heal, that you would be Yahweh Rophe, the Lord our healer. Jesus, we thank you that by your stripes we are healed, and that no matter how big or how small the ailment is, it cannot, it is not bigger than you are. We thank you, Lord, that you're our healer no matter what the situation is, that you are the one who sees all of our needs, and you provide. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus, where there's financial lack, that you would just move in those situations. Provide jobs, Father, where jobs are needed. Provide food where food is needed, Father. But most importantly, Lord, I pray that you would pour out your love on every person who's feeling hurt and abandoned and betrayed. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, you would pour out your love upon them. Let them know that you have taken all of that upon yourself already, Jesus, and that you love them and you want them to come to you. Father, we give you glory and honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And again, listeners, please email either myself or pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com, pastor or Pastor Jim, at beaconofhopeministries.com. Let us know what's going on, because we do. I mean, our hearts are in this. We're in this for you, basically. I like being on the radio and all, but I don't do this because I like hearing my voice, you know, because I don't think I sound good personally. I do it because God has called us to do this as an outreach, to minister life to a world that's dying.
Well, you know, there are some listeners I know that probably this is their church.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is their church. They happen not to be attending anywhere now, but they tune into the radio show and, you know, listen to it steadfastly for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. And that's great.
That's fantastic.
This is our Sunday evening service.
It is. That's
what Nana's called it. It's our Sunday evening service.
That's right.
And that's great. Well, Nana, any final thoughts on James and on today's radio program?
Well, I'd just like to remind the people that God loves you. You can't buy his love with your actions. And regardless of what someone has done, they just need to simply ask him to forgive them. And he is still there, and he has not left them. He is still there. He's everywhere. So he hasn't left you because he's everywhere, you know, and just encourage them of how much God loves them. I mean, he really, just of how much he loves them. He just loves them so much, you know, and loves us so much, loves us all so much. You know, we just love. God is love. I think the Bible says that somewhere.
Everywhere. First John is a good place to start. Yeah, yeah, and kind of going along with that, because this obviously went directions we didn't realize it was going to go.
Sure.
But I just want to read, I kind of want to finish today with some verses out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Well, we'll start with verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. There's a promise that you can hold on to. I mean, if you're feeling like your life is just junk and awful and horrible, you come to Jesus, and guess what? Mm. You become a new creation. Everything old, everything you inherited from Adam is gone. You're brand new. And all things are of God. This is verse 18 of chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, which means that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not counting our trespasses against us, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So, you know what? God's not mad at you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? In Jesus, you're already reconciled to God. All that God requires is that you believe it, that you come to him mm-hmm. and say, you're right, I'm sorry, I want to know you. You know, that you believe that mm-hmm. Jesus is the Son of God, that he was the sacrifice for your mm-hmm. sins, that he rose from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it takes.
That's it.
That's it. You know, that's again, all. It's just so simple. But this is why we do what we do. In verse 20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, and we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. That's why we do this, that we can share the good news of the gospel as ambassadors and say, be reconciled to God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the important thing. And praise God. And it's, you know, this has just been a great show. I love doing the radio. Really, really love doing the radio.
It's been a good show.
Yes. I used to be as a kid in high school, the voice of Greenfield Central High School.
Ooh.
Yeah, imagine that. And I never thought, you know, certainly never thought that'd go anywhere. So here I am 30, 40 years later.
There you go.
You know, doing this again. But again and again, we do this because we love God. And we love you, our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Pastor Jim from Beacon of Hope Ministries saying it's not far to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Just ask him in.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you next Sunday. Hopefully see you in church.
There you go.
It's Pastor Jim, Nan Watson. God bless you all. Amen.
It's not far from here to Jesus. His loving arms are open wide. Your eyes and he will lead you safely to his side. There's no need for you to fear. You can trust him with your heart. It's not far. It's not far. It's not far. It's not far.
WTAN Clearwater Tampa Bay, WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay, KLRG Sheridan Little Rock, and FM 94.5 K233 BF Little Rock.